our household. So while that enemy is thinking that he's giving you sicknesses, he doesn't know that God is planning to give him more than cancer. God is planning to give him more than tumor. God, somebody, let us just with the agreement right now, just give back the devil what he's trying to throw back to you. Come on, let us this morning just throw back his cancer to him. Let us just this morning throw back his iniquities back to him. Come on, help me, somebody. Let us this morning just throw back the headache, because you may think that headache doesn't kill, it can kill. Let's throw back those migraines back to him. Come on, help me, somebody. Let's just throw back his poverty, his insufficiency, which he throws back to you. Let us throw it back unto him in Jesus' name. Satan of poverty shall not continue to defile the name of God in you. That's a big place to say amen. Hallelujah. So, God will not sit and watch him dishonoring you. He will not sit and watch him bringing tears out of your eyes every day. God is much around to all his children. He sees our tears. He knows what we are going through. And he has solution for every single situation that have confronted us. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah 52, verse 1, it said, Jerusalem, be strong and great again, holy city of God. Clothe yourself with splendor. The hidden, that means Sadekrite, will never enter your gates again. The hidden, the unbeliever, those who are tormenting you, God is saying that hardship, that failure, that frustration, that divorce that have been knocking at the door of everyone that marries from your family, God said it will not enter your gates anymore. Permit me to clap a little bit unto him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We must register in our spirit that every child of God, land or property that have been dedicated unto God, bears his mark. God said in the book of Isaiah 45, he said, thou art mine. You are mine. How do you know what belongs unto God? Whatever belongs unto God bears God's mark. It bears God's identity. When you look at a finished product, you will see the mark of the company that produced that product in that tin. You will see their label totally written. If it is can cola, you will see it totally written cola. Beverages, you will see the company that have produced it clearly written. If it's even a cream, you will see the company that manufactured it clearly written. And so, how do you know whether you belong unto God? It's written in the word of the Lord that you are mine. God is laying claim over you, over humanity, that we belong unto him. So, as long as we have the mark of God and we have his identity, Satan will not enter our territory anymore. Tell somebody that we are untouchable by the evil spirit. No matter how Satan is desiring me, I'm untouchable. Come on, say it. That is the reason why God calls us house of prayer. You and me, we are the house of prayer, as the Bible book of Mark qualifies us. He says, we are, my temple shall be called the house of prayer. So we are not just ordinary people. We are the untouchables by the devil. We are unique unto God. We are a holy priesthood unto God. We are a peculiar people. So God is guiding us jealously. Every investment he has made in your life, made in the life of your family, will never be wasted. It is not in vain that God is guiding you. God is guiding us, protecting us, so that we shall continuously be people that he can make references unto. He will use us as a symbol to show the devil that, look, these are my own people. These are my own people. Don't you see? Don't you see that Helen and her household, they belong unto me? Don't you see that Larry and his household, they belong unto me? You can put your name too, because I'm putting my name, because I belong unto God. See, whoever belong unto him, God guides jealously. God will not allow the little secrets and the little gossip that people are using to ruin, trying to think that they can ruin your life or ruin your identity to my youth, definitely. No. As a matter of fact, those things, the more they come and they are hitting you, it means that you are better than those people who are gossiping about you. Those who are talking about you, you are better than them. There's something that you have which they do not have. And because they are spending all their time gossiping about you, they will never be able to see God's glory. Meanwhile, you are getting advantage over them and going more forward. So let those things not bug you at all. God is on your side. When there rumor against you, and you know that rumor is not correct, do not give ear to rumor. Face God and pray, because God said that you are a house of prayer. When you begin to pray, every demon of rumor will get away. Every demon that is trying to harass you will get away. There is something that the devil cannot stand. Devil cannot stand a temple that prays. The devil cannot stand where people of God lift up holy hands and call upon him. The devil cannot enter such a place. Are you hearing me, somebody? God's spirit lives in us. So Satan cannot dwell where the spirit of God is. We are kings unto God. So we have our own kingdom, and devil is not allowed to be in that kingdom. As 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, that we are a holy people, we are priests unto God, we are the church of God. Our house, our body, our soul, our spirit shall be called house of prayer. When you come to the realization that you are a house of prayer, there is no how any devil will inhabit or inhabit in a place that is called a house of prayer. It's impossible. Why? Because prayer is powerful. Prayer is omniscient. Prayer can do anything that God can do. Prayer is victorious. Prayer produces miracle and breakthrough. Prayer is what will keep the devil far from you. Prayer, when a believer prays, God hears him. When you pray, God will perform. Prayer is powerful. When you pray, every Satan trying to hold you or who is intended to come into your domain will surely leave. When you pray, Satan will not enter you, nor enter your territory, nor enter your children's life, nor enter your husband's life or your wife's life. Satan will not enter that home when somebody gets up and begin to pray. I say Satan will not enter. Tell somebody, Satan will not enter my home anymore. Talk to yourself. Satan will not enter you anymore. Satan will not enter that marriage anymore. Satan will not enter your bank accounts anymore. Satan will not enter anything that has to do with you. Actually, it is forbidden for you to continue to entertain Satan in your home by the things you do. Beloved, many of us have given him a lot of allowance to act in our homes. He has entered our territories, illegally possessed the things that have to do with us, because we are prayerless. When the call comes for you people to gather and pray, believers don't want to pray. When the call comes to the church that people must pray, you see few people coming for prayer. And that is the reason why Satan have legitimately occupied many homes. But as you hear the sound of my voice this early morning, before just this month ends up, this message is coming to you for a purpose. It's coming to you to let you know that even before now, we have 2 months for the year to end, you still have the power to drive that Satan that have hindered you since January till this time. You have the power to drive that Satan out of your city. Satan has entered certain areas of our lives, homes, businesses, marriages, and we are doing nothing about it except complaining. We complain and complain and complain and complain and complain and complain and complain. But hear ye the word of the Lord this morning. Some of you, you have been crippled in your finances and you live on continuous debts and bills and you walk 24/7 just to pay bills alone. And devil sit up there laughing. And he sits around and gives you all this misfortune. And he laughs and laughs and laughs. And he says, I've got this one hard. Because this is not a child of God, really. This one doesn't really know his or her right. But today, in the name of Jesus, I have preached. Receive back your liberty. Receive back your liberty. Receive back your liberty in Jesus' name. I say receive it because it belongs unto you. May the Lord God step in on behalf of you and deal with that which have been trying to harass you. In Jesus' mighty name. May he give you the grace to regain what you have lost. That is my prayer for you. May the mark of the blood be upon your territory, upon your household, upon your children, that the devil will not enter them anymore from this moment. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, your deliverance has come. Say a big amen. Thank you for listening. Once again, my name is Apostle Helen Rudokino of Rivers of Life Bible Church, where Jesus is Lord. Join us in our Sunday services from 10 o'clock. Actually, it's like we are going to move our time because we think earlier than that will be good enough. You give us a call on 0626-046-432. When we seek God earlier, it is good. God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Apostle Larry Dokeno, and bringing to you this morning with the Word Encounter, the segment in the inspirational segment of our program this morning, Word Encounter. Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, it's always a joy and a privilege to come before you And we reckon that we can do nothing unless you help us. Thank you this morning. Give me utterance and let the words I speak be that which you have ordained to touch our lives, to edify, to quicken, to empower, and to release us into our destinies. Thank you, Father Holy, and thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for this privilege. Be glorified. Amen and amen. Welcome once again to Word Encounter. And I want to share this morning on the title, what I title, How to Receive Divine Recommendation. Divine Recommendation. Recommendation is so important because when you receive recommendation, doors open to you on their own accord. You don't fight your way through. You don't find yourself knocking and knocking and nobody's minding you. But a recommendation actually gives you access to quarters you normally wouldn't go or have access to. So we need recommendation even in our job, workplaces of work, when we are looking for new opportunities. Somebody giving you a recommendation will just put you on a totally new level. And so my title is How to Receive Divine Recommendation. And I want to use one of my favorite characters in the Bible, called the man Cornelius. The man called Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read the first seven verses of this passage. The Bible says from verse 1, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God. Now, there are times when people say they see certain things, but it's so fuzzy, it's so blurred, and they are not even sure what they are saying. But the Bible says clearly that he saw distinctly. And when God wants to show you something or do something in your life, it's so clear-cut that you don't have any doubt at all about it. You say, oh, yeah, I think I saw this. Oh, I believe it's this. No, you don't believe. You don't think. It is what it is. When God visits you, you know, and your neighborhood knows. Your grandfather knows. Your grandmother knows. Your children know. Your wife knows. Your husband knows. Eh? Distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, we need that kind of visitation. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel spoke to him and had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told him everything that had happened and sent him to Joppa. Here ends the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. Divine recommendation. Now, I believe that there are things God sees in a man which makes his heart jump. The heart of God apparently did jump for Cornelius. How I wish the heart of God would jump for me. How I wish the heart of God would jump for you. And that God, whilst he's sitting up in heaven, something about me and something about you is kicking inside of him. And God is stimulated to do something for you and I. And this is exactly what happened to Cornelius. Now, remember that it is not your wealth that can make the heart of God jump or move God, because God is the source of all wealth anyway. He made everything that is in this earth, all the wealth of the riches, he made them all. Remember also, it is not your beauty, because he is so beautiful. Too beautiful to behold. He is, in fact, referred to as the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. Remember also, It is not your knowledge, because God knows a lot more than you and I. In fact, he is omniscient. That means he knows all things, both the hidden and those which are revealed. Remember also, it is not your height. Some people are tall. They feel very settled and satisfied in how tall, how strong they are. It's not your height, because the Bible tells us God sits in heaven and the earth is his footstool. Imagine the distance between heaven and earth. It's too long. It's too high. Eh? But God's height, if you like, the tallness of God, if you like, God, you know, bridges the heaven, the distance between the heavens and the earth. So God is so tall. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. And it's not your popularity either, because the Bible says God is most popular. God, every knee, the scripture says, shall bow to God. In other words, nobody is nobody as popular as God. Even the baby that is born today knows that there is God, because they come from him anyway. And there is something in every being that acknowledges God. The book of Romans chapter 1 says that which is maybe known of God is already known to us. Therefore, no man can deny that they have not heard or they don't know about God. Hallelujah. God has put in us something called conscience. And that conscience, it regulates our behavior, it judges our behaviors, and tells us this is wrong and this is right. That is the peace of God in us. Hallelujah. So God is so popular. So your popularity cannot ever move God. Not how many, not all the great things you think you have done, all the books you have written, all the speeches you have made, all the good deeds you have done, whatever it is that you are doing today, which has given you a name or a status on this earth. Remember that it is not enough to make the heart of God jump for you. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. So God's eyes picks out some people. And the question is, are you righteous today? How righteous are you? The scripture also says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, it says, his eyes are everywhere beholding the evil and the good. God is looking every time. He's watching every single person on the surface of this earth. He watches our going out and our coming in, whatever we are doing. So don't think you are hidden from God. God knows all and God sees all. Now, this passage tells us about a foreigner of hidden origin, a man who found himself in the land of Palestine by reason of duty, but as a foreigner, and he was not a Jew by birth, found himself among the people of God, yet God picked him out. God took notice of him. How wonderful it would be to be noticed by God. How glorious it would be to be recommended by God. That recommendation will open great doors. That recommendation will cause us to have access to places normally we wouldn't. It is interesting that certain people earned this recommendation, and it really gave them a good standing before God and before heaven. And you know, when heaven opens up unto you, when God gives you favor and you please him, there is nothing you ask him that you will not get. And this is where I believe we all should desire to get to find recommendation with the Lord. The other people in the Bible, let me just quickly mention who found favor with God. Daniel was one of them. Abraham was one of them. Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, was one of them. Job was one of them. Do you think you can find favor with God without doing anything? Absolutely not. You have to be doing something which will pique or prick the interest of God and which will cause him to take notice of you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we find ourselves competing and vying to get the attention of men, to get the approval of men. That is so limited. It's such a narrow-minded thinking, trying to seek people's approval. It doesn't go too far. But when you have the approval of God, all men will notice and all men will respect and they will love you. They will appreciate who you are and whatever God has put in you to do. And so let's pursue God's recommendation. Hallelujah. So if these men and these women I've just mentioned were able to impress God and impress heaven, and they obtained God's recommendation so that the spotlight of heaven fell upon them, then you and I also can do it. If they, as men and women, succeeded in gaining God's attention, then we have a chance also. Hallelujah. That's the point I want us to really take notice of. Because when heaven recommends you, it is so beautiful. It is so awesome. It is so mighty. Everything goes well. The doors fling wide open. Now, very quickly, three important activities in the life of Cornelius are highlighted here. There are three key activities. Now, the first of all, the first one we find in the verse 2, it says, he and all his family were devout and they feared God. Now, to be devout means to turn your back on the past and face God only. Devote and devout, these are the same words. Devote means you take something and place it somewhere and say, this one you stay here, or you take something and give it to somebody and say, this is yours and yours alone. I dedicate this thing to you and to you for your use. For example, if a man gives a woman a ring, that man is dedicating himself to that woman. In other words, I'm engaging you, I am tying myself to you and to no other. We are getting into a binding, a tie, a covenant. You see, so he was devout. He connected himself to God and God alone. To be devout also means to commit yourself as a man and woman are supposed to commit themselves to each other, like I just said. And also to set apart, give up, and be consigned to God. So to set yourself apart, he separated himself, set up himself apart, gave himself up to God. Now, there are partners, there are people who are in a relationship who threaten each other in difficult times when they have misunderstanding and they want to break up because they have an argument and they have a quarrel, things are not going well, and they easily threaten themselves that they want to leave. You are not devoted to each other. If any woman or a man will begin to threaten the other and say, hey, I am leaving you because you don't have no money. I'm leaving you because you are abusing me. I'm leaving you because you are doing this and doing that. You know, we find reasons we stand upon incidents happening in our lives, which everybody goes through anyway. And on those grounds, you want to break your devotion to your partner. That is a very poor way of handling difficulties. So you are not devoted. See? So when one is devoted to God, his church, his pastor, his family, etc., heaven will notice you. When you are a devoted person, we are committed to a cause with all your heart, heaven will surely notice you. So the first thing what Cornelius did was that he was a devout man. In other words, he was devoted. That's one thing I love about the military. In fact, my dad was actually in the service years ago and went to the Second World War as well. But for some reason, even though I was not born then, I was born just after that, I have come to like the military for some reason. For some reason, I just love the military. For the main reason that it has a way of bringing discipline and devotion to people's lives. In other words, you are trained to be, to for, your life becomes disciplined, organized. You know, you have, you are focused on a course and you are attached to it, you know, and you don't have reasons to you don't have excuses in your mouth to say why you cannot do this or that. You know, the training that you get makes you disciplined, committed, and organized. And that is very, very important. Praise the Lord. So it gives me the impression that partly the training of Cornelius as a soldier, as a military man, may have given him the virtue, if you like, of devotion. Now, that same virtue of devotion to his cause, to his superiors, to his job as a soldier, he transferred that same loyalty and devotion to God. And so, when you have not been raised up to be devoted to your family, to be devoted to your husband or your wife, you find out that you cannot even be devoted on your job to the ones you are working with. You lack that tenacity to be committed to something. There are people today who move about all over the place looking for a miracle in the church, and they are not finding it because they are not devoted. The Bible says Cornelius was devoted. You know what it means to be devoted? You don't use that which you have set apart for something or for God, for other things. You don't do that. Then you have not devoted it. Hallelujah. And the thing with God is that when you devote yourself to Him, you have no excuse to prostitute yourself to any other thing. Otherwise, that thing which you say you are devoted to Him loses its value and loses its significance. One of the reasons why Cornelius got divine recommendation was that he devoted himself to the Lord. Hallelujah. The time has come for us to learn this virtue, to learn the discipline of being committed to a cause and sticking with it no matter what. By the way, when I spoke of marriage, being devoted to marriage, I'm not, of course, advocating that when a woman is in a very abusive and life-threatening situation or relationship, that woman should die in there. I'm not recommending that, by the way. Okay? But I know that these days people use every flimsy reason to want to break up the marriage. They threaten each other because they are going through difficulties or they are quarreling, and then the next thing is they want to leave. You are not devoted. And if you're not devoted, you cannot receive recommendation. Nobody will see in you the spirit of committedness, the spirit of loyalty, and will want to recommend you, because I would even dare work with you because you cannot be trusted. You can be with me today and tomorrow you're going to be with another person because you are never satisfied. You are somebody of convenience because when the going is good, we are friends. When the going is bad, we check out. A friend of mine was recently telling me that he's, in fact, I think he, I don't know what is the mistake he made, but a lady they have been with together, he's been with together for a couple of years, maybe 12 years, had children. And I called to ask how they were doing, and then he said, no, they are no more together. I was so shocked. I said, how can that be? I thought you guys have been together for a long time. He said, oh, no. Yeah, the lady went to Suriname and then found somebody else and fell in love there. And then that was it. I said, this is weird. How can this be? Did you quarrel or what? He said, no. I didn't really find the whole thing nice. But I saw that there wasn't real devotion. The man and the woman were not devout to each other. One of them was probably not devout to the other, okay? When you are devout to one another, if problems come up in the relationship, problems can be solved. And you must find a way to solve it. And when you are devoted, like Cornelius became devoted, I bet you, you will receive recommendation. The man was devout to God. He was committed to God. No matter how people saw him, no matter how people felt about him, people might have said, you are a foreigner. How can you leave the gods of your ancestors, the gods of your fathers, and now you come and found another god and you are worshiping and serving him, and you are spending your money, you are spending your time, and you say you are pleasing God? People must have laughed at him, but he was focused. He said, I am committed to God. I am honoring God no matter what, because I see in this relationship, in this religion, something that will take me far, something that will change not only me, but my lineage and all those who are coming from me. He was devoted to God. That is how I believe we must be devoted to God. Praise the Lord. Now, because of time constraints, I'm going to continue this, God willing, next week. I'll take the other two aspects or important activities of Cornelius, which gave him the recommendation which he found before the Lord. And I trust that you will be blessed as I do that. Hallelujah. And so I believe that one of the vital keys to obtaining divine recommendation, receiving divine recommendation, is to be devout, to be devoted, to be committed to God no matter what. Sometimes you may not be feeling well or feeling comfortable, but you know what? God is watching you. His eyes are upon you. He's watching to see whether you can be trusted in good and bad times. I pray that the Lord will help you, that you will find recommendation in this very week. May God look down from heaven and see you as being a devoted and a loyal person. And because of that, he will give you divine approval. I will share with us later how Cornelius was approved by the Lord and what God did for him. Thank you very much for your attention. I pray your week be blessed and that all things will work together for good in your life. The Lord bless you richly. And please stay tuned for our upcoming programs, the Pastoral Forum. God bless you.
Bringing to you the Pastoral Forum, and we trust that you will enjoy this Pastoral Forum.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear the tune. We are ready to roll. The Pastoral Forum is here. I will soon be presenting to you our guest for today. And I believe you're going to enjoy this guest. A few extra details. So, the Pastoral Forum is dialing, is about to hit the airwaves. today we are going to be talking about women in ministry. Women in ministry is our topic for today. And it's a curious topic because of the divided opinion about women in ministry. That notwithstanding, we see the Holy Ghost still falling upon women and using them powerfully. So whatever your standpoint, we would like to hear. Whilst we are on air, we would like you to feel free to call us on 06. I beg your pardon, on 02-386-81968. This is Voice of Niger transmitting to you on 105.2 megahertz on ETA and 103.8 on cable. The Pastoral Forum.
Acceptance and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough. Felt pretty enough, but imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that is
today we are now looking at this topic because women in ministry has been a controversial one for various reasons and for many centuries. Now, based on diverse interpretations of the scriptures, some hold that a woman is not authorized to teach or do ministry, while others are open to it. Now, this divided opinion has prevailed for so long. Today, things are changing. We see women in the boardroom. We also see women in the pulpit. We see women doing about everything a man does in terms of functionality in everyday life. In ministry today, we have women priests, bishops, apostles, elders, deacons. What exactly has changed in the game? So some of these issues we will be trying to explore in this forum. I'd like to welcome this morning to the show my guest. I have here today the Reverend Prophetess Tessie Maduwes. Please say hello to listeners of Voice of Niger.
Hello, listeners. You are highly blessed and favored in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I have also a very special woman of God. She's for the first time on the Pastoral Forum. The Reverend Dorita Neslo of the Holy Ghost Revival Chapel. Welcome, Pastor Dorita. Say hello to the Voice of Niger listeners.
God bless you, listeners. Still be blessed and remain blessed.
And I also have our regular Voice of Niger program hostess who will be today also discussing this topic because it's been requested that she participate because she is a voice. Let's receive the Apostle Helen Ruth Dokenu of Rivers of Life Bible Church and Voice of Niger radio program. Say hello to Voice of Niger, please.
Voice of Niger listeners, I thank you and I'm privileged to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Now we are ready to roll. Wherever you are, we want you to pay attention and be involved in this discussion. Now, what exactly do you think has changed on the playing field between men and women in ministry? Because things are not the way they used to be. And I would like to throw this question, first of all, to Prophetess. Tell us what has changed, because now, as a woman, you are fully involved in ministry, confident, and you are sure of what you are doing. You're not intimidated. What has changed? It wasn't like that before. Please go ahead. Tell us.
Okay. Thank you very much, Apostle Larry. I see it in the effect that God has been very gracious to me, and I believe he has also been gracious to other women in the ministry. In those days, it was believed that a ministry is something that belongs only to the men. But these days, things are changing.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, you find out that in every field,
yes,
in every profession, in every field,
yes,
in the banking sector, there are women.
Yes.
In the government, there are women.
Mm-hmm.
You also find that in the military, there are women.
Yes.
You find that in business, there are women. Yes. In companies, there are company CEOs.
Yes.
Women that are doing perfectly good.
Yes.
What's wrong being, of a woman being in the ministry? There's nothing wrong having women also being in the ministry. The important thing is knowing who you are in Christ. Because the word of God says in the book of Galatians chapter 3.
Now, woman of God, before we go into details, yes. I just want to have a quick overview of what has changed and why it has changed.
Yes.
Pastor Director, please. What has changed now? Women are doing ministry like yourself. Huh? Before it wasn't like that. What has changed? Tell us, please.
It makes a difference because when women are in ministry, for instance, we women, you can see that they are there to have a motherly heart towards the congregation or towards the young women, and they are in need of those things because God to know how to use us as women as a mother for those that needs mothers in minister. And in the forming time where only men was in charge, you could see also where men could fall. So when there is a woman there, you can protect the man. And that has been a good help in the last a few years when we have seen women coming up and doing and taking their positions as women in ministry. I think that has been make a good difference on these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's hear Apostle Helen. What has changed? Just in one line. What has changed? And why have things changed now?
Yeah.
Now that we have women doing ministry.
I believe that people are beginning to be very, very open and to understand that women in ministry are not portraying feminism. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. They're not portraying feminism because there was this fear that when women enter in ministry, they will be feminized. Mm-hmm. So the things will begin to go the way it ought not to go. So, but now there's openness in that area. So women are being now not seen as threats anymore, or as being naive, as we were meant to understand. So people are now very open to receive the gospel from women. And by the way, I don't think that Jesus handed over the gospel only to the men. Otherwise, he wouldn't have commissioned the women alongside with their men counterparts during the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Okay. I was going to actually ask the question about feminism, and gender equality, because is that a reason why women are not allowed to the ministry, which previously wasn't the case? So we'll probably look at this a bit more. But some people are strongly against and have been against women doing ministry for whatever reason. But, I mean, whether they like it or not, things have changed now.
Yes.
So it's a sign that God is no respecter of persons.
Yes.
He uses both men and women.
Sure.
Yes.
See, that is always appearing. Because sometimes we have a certain mindset and that holds back things. It holds the move of God.
Yeah.
If God can speak through a donkey,
sure.
God can use anything.
Sure.
So, you know, any man out there who has a serious objection to a woman being in ministry, you got to think twice because God may be confounding you.
Exactly.
Well, we'll go further. I think I expect us to have a very interesting discussion about this because this is awesome. This is awesome. Now, why do you think that church organizations and denominations are becoming more open to this idea of women in ministry? Anyone wants to, you know, throw in their lot on that?
Well, things have changed.
Things have changed.
Times have changed also.
So is it that the mind of God has changed about women? Or?
God's mind has not changed. God says he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And all flesh means both men and women. So there should be no gender difference. There should be gender equality.
Gender equality?
Yes. There should be no female anointing. No female anointing. No male anointing.
Oh.
Anointing is anointing.
Oh, yeah. You just made a good point. God is distinguishing between a feminine anointing and a masculine one.
No, not at all. Anointing is
as far as the gospel is concerned.
Yes, availability is what God is looking for, not quality. Availability.
Availability.
Yes, that's what he wants. So if the women avail themselves, he will pour out his anointing upon them.
Yeah. And I want to add up to what Prophet Sam just said.
Yeah.
You know, in Genesis chapter 1, when the Lord created a man and then formed a woman,
yes.
So God didn't just tell Eve, Serve the man and serve him very well. Mm-hmm. Make sure your commission is only to serve the man and serve him very well. No, uh-huh. God gave them equality.
Yes.
He said, rule and have dominion over all the things. So they have equality. Both of them were to rule and have dominion and to subdue the earth. That was the commission God gave to them. Uh-huh. So if the Lord didn't separate their duties, why would us be separated in the ministry?
That is okay. Yes, and add to also, what,
if I may add to what Apostle Helen said.
Yes,
Galatians chapter 3, from verse 26 to 29, it says, "We are all God's children." We are all God's children.
That scripture again, Galatians chapter what?
Galatians chapter 3, from verse 26 to 29. He says, we are all God's children. He says, there are no male, no female. No freeborn, no slave. And it says there are that we are the seeds of Abraham. So, like as I said, it all depends on the individuals and their mindset. And I believe that these days people should read their Bible and understand it. Come under the interpretation of the Holy Spirit to interpret it for them to know that, yes, in ministry, ministry is something that has to do with God's kingdom.
Yes.
There is no male, no female, there.
Okay. So does it look like the world, or for that matter, the male folks have been biased?
Of course.
About the women for all these years?
Sometimes.
Now, there may be a justifiable reason for that, because in the priesthood of Aaron, there were no women.
No.
It was mainly
men
who were carrying out the ministry.
Yes.
All the way, in Judaism rituals and the ceremonies.
Yes.
Mainly men were involved in the priesthood.
Yeah. They were the Levites. But when we see in the New Testament, in the book of Peter, you can read there that we become also the royal priesthood.
Women also become royal priesthood.
For the royal priesthood.
We also have been chosen by the Lord. And that is the nice thing what the Lord has done for us. He came to fulfill the law. So the law himself was good.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong about it.
Yes.
But there are some few things where Jesus could fulfill the law for us.
Yes.
And so in that occasion, you could see in the New Testament, when Jesus was arise from the dead, it was a woman that could brought the good news that Jesus rise up again.
Yes.
So it was the first evangelist. You see, she become the priesthood too.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see.
And also, if I may add to what
Pastor
Yeslo said, if I may add to what she said, in John chapter 4, the woman that made Jesus at the well, Jesus did not discriminate against her.
No.
Jesus didn't say, okay, yes, because you're a woman, I wouldn't talk to you. He didn't say, go and bring your certificate of feminism.
No.
He spoke to her, and instantly the woman dropped everything, went into the city, and instant crusade took place.
Yes.
And you know, this also happened in a place where culture is being about women is being very, you know, being widely promoted. People are undermined. It was in Judaism culture. Okay, so this happened, and you know, the Bible told us in that John 4 that the people of that village believed in her report.
Yes.
They believed in the report of that woman. The account she gave about Jesus, that was what drew people to the Lord.
Yeah.
So she was not discriminated. If Jesus can tell her, go and tell the world, go and tell the people, go and tell them who I am. And she went to the village. If Jesus can commission her to do that, don't you see that Jesus trusted her?
Yes, certainly. It looks like.
That means Jesus also has great confidence in women ministry. Because women played a great role in his ministry.
Okay.
He recognizes female ministry.
He does. Let me throw in this point. I don't have the direct reference, but it's from 1 Timothy.
Yes.
When Paul was telling Timothy about how to run the church.
Yes, that is true too.
And that the woman must not be allowed to have rule over a man, because it wasn't the man who was deceived, but the woman.
Yeah.
A lot of people have the argument against women being in ministry.
It's true.
based on that.
Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 2.
I'm curious to see how you wonderful ladies can defend yourselves in this matter.
Well,
go ahead.
There's a background on
it.
There's a background about it.
Okay, one at a time.
Mm-hmm. The background is that in those days, there were women that came to Christ, that, like we can say, in these days, they came from the red light.
Yeah, yes.
And so their character was not
refined.
Yes, was not refined. So it was like Paul said, you know what? These women, even and when you minister to them, they could shout and said, hello, you know, they didn't have the real good character.
It's true.
So Paul said it, make it very short. Mm. He said to Timothy, you know what? Don't let the women teach. So, but that doesn't mean it was a law that you call it a law that, you know, you cannot change it.
Uh-huh.
So someday you can change that because he said also somewhere else in the New Testament that the old lady should teach the young ones. Women. What about that?
Yeah. Mm.
So he's not in contrary with it, but it is the background of those women.
Mm.
You see, they were the feminists.
So that scripture was taken from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. He said,
yes.
I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent.
Yeah.
That was what Paul said.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but if you take that scripture from literally point of view, then you will misunderstand the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you take that scripture literally, then you will also take that one that he said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can also take that one, and then every priest will begin to get boost.
Mm-hmm.
If we would take this from just literally.
Yes.
But the fact was that, just like Pastor Neslo had just said, these women, we are trying to infiltrate the gospel with another doctrine, sexual doctrines.
Yes. And idols.
So they were bringing their sexual doctrines into the whole thing, and then they were making a lot of noise, and they were illiterate, not educated.
Yes. And secondly, in addition to what you said, who were patronizing the women? Is it not the men?
Yeah, the women, the men, but that is not the aspect we are speaking now. But the fact is that they were illiterate.
Yes.
So Paul then told Timothy, do not do this. But let's not forget the fact that in 2 Timothy of 1 verse 5, the Bible said Paul commended Luis and Eunice for teaching Timothy.
Yeah.
Timothy became the teaching they impacted upon Timothy became a reference on how we must raise young people.
Okay.
How we must raise our children.
Uh-huh.
So if we say women are not supposed to teach the gospel, so even Timothy, even though he was a young man, he was already a man.
Yeah.
Or if he's a boy, he's already a man. So we will also say, let's not teach them, even in schools. So professors mustn't teach children.
Yeah.
Our scholars mustn't teach children. So that is not the whole thing.
Okay.
And besides also, we saw that Priscilla, in the book of Acts of the Apostles 18, we saw Priscilla and her husband Aquila, they impacted.
Yeah.
They were together in the ministry.
They impacted the gospel to Apollos.
Yeah.
So they seasoned him and they corrected him and they instructed him in the gospel.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think the ladies are on fire here.
Yes.
Because I can see that they came ready to defend their position.
Amen.
The position God has given to them. Now, if you're listening this morning to the Pastoral Forum, we are talking about women in ministry. And just in case you feel like, you know, calling to give a remark or to have a question to this wonderful panelist, please call us on 0236819968. If you are enjoying it as well, we invite you to compliment this woman for the wonderful argument. Wow. So it is clear that it wasn't a case of a law permanently forbidding the women.
It wasn't a universal law. Yeah. It was something just for a particular church. Even.
Yes. And then maybe for within a particular cultural context.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, because I wonder, okay, then why would God anoint somebody like Deborah and made a prophetess, you know?
Yes.
A prophetic office was a very high office.
Yes.
So the prophets made the kings.
Yes. Yes.
So why would God anoint Deborah and make the prophetess to rule Israel?
Yeah.
So then it blows our argument that women are not allowed to do ministry out of the window. Now, if you are there, and just in case you have this notion that women are not allowed to be ministry, I invite you to call and tell us why. And let's see what answers the women have to give you. Wherever you are, this is your chance, this is your opportunity. Call in 023-681-968. If, on the other hand, you think these women are making sense and they are speaking truth, call also and compliment them. Thank you very much.
Do you remember when Jesus went to the cross?
Yes.
The women followed him.
Yes.
They followed him till death.
Yes.
And that was when he resurrected. Mm-hmm. He showed himself first to a woman.
Woman.
Uh-huh. And commissioned. He said, go and tell the other people.
Yes.
So if women are naive and we are not seasoned and we can't carry the gospel, why would Jesus himself commission us to go?
Mm-hmm.
And besides, in the upper room, during the Pentecost,
yes,
the Bible recorded that even Jesus' mother was also there.
Was there.
He was there.
When and
he
she said, also received the Holy Spirit.
When the commission was, they must wait until the Holy Ghost comes upon them before they go for this commission.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
So